Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
This episode is sponsored by GoDaddy.com, the world's largest web host and domain name registrar, with domains as low as $1.99 and hosting for less than $5 a month. Enter promo code STUFF10 at checkout and save 10% off your entire order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
Meow, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. That's Chuck Bryant.
I was going to do the same thing. That's
were
funny.
You?
Yeah, I was. Except
go
I was
going to
really
let's
make it sound like
meow.
A cat. That was terrible.
It was pretty bad.
Sorry.
That was about as good as your Elvis impression. Actually, Chuck, it was great. I'm sorry I just said that. So, Chuck, do you have a cat?
I have two cats.
Oh, yeah? What are their names?
I have LaRon, and I have the Wizard.
Nice.
Those are my two cats.
Don't you hate it when people name their pets like actual human names, like Jason or, you know, Gina?
You know, my in-laws are big on that. They always give their dogs and cats regular names.
Well, my apologies to your in-laws, Chuck.
Right. Well, LaRon is conceivably a real name, but the Wizard, eh.
The Wizard, yeah. You're probably going to be brought up on charges if you name your kid the Wizard.
What about you? I know you have a big fluffy cat.
I do. Her name is Noodle, and she's very
cute.
Appropriately named because she's just kind of this surly old Himalayan, and she looks all mean and tough, but you pick her up.
What does that have to do with Noodle?
And she goes limp.
Oh,
like just totally and completely limp. She's totally docile. She never tries to squirm away or anything. I mean, if you move your arm enough, Ashley likes to just basically sleep with Noodle like she's a stuffed teddy bear.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, once Ashley falls asleep, Noodle takes off as fast as she can, but
right. She
doesn't put up much of a fight.
Right. So more like a cooked Noodle.
Yeah.
Because originally when you said Noodle, I was thinking uncooked, a very stiff, rigid thing.
That's weird. That's like the opposite of my conception of Noodle.
You should have named your cat Cooked Noodle.
Noodle, you think of the uncooked Noodle.
I did in this case, but you're right. That's absurd.
I gotcha. So the I guess probably the one drawback to Noodle is that she's so fluffy. She produces hair like nothing I've ever seen.
Yeah, same with LaRon.
It's constant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's a long hair, long black hair.
Yeah. Okay. So you know what it's like to live among tumbleweeds of of hair just kind of going
dust
through
bunnies.
Your house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the mice put on little gunslinging shows for your amusement kind of thing.
Right. Between our two cats and two dogs, we can literally collect enough hair each week to make an entirely new animal.
Yeah. Yeah. I could sweep every day and still get an astronomical amount up.
Yeah.
I'm too lazy, though. I don't sweep every day.
Of course you don't.
We live in a toxic environment.
Yeah.
Fortunately, neither Ashley nor I are allergic to cats.
My wife, Emily, is.
Is she?
Yeah, but she loves animals so much that she lives with it.
So your wife, Emily, you realize, is part of the one-third of Americans who love cats so much that they keep them even though they're allergic to them.
Yeah.
Think about that. A third of the people who are allergic to cats still keep them.
That says something about cats.
It really does, doesn't
uh-huh.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So what does Emily do for her allergies?
Well, she's got big allergies as a whole anyway, so she's on shots and pills and nasal sprays, and there's a voodoo guy that comes around once a week and does a little nude dance in our room. And
nice. That has nothing to do with the allergies,
nothing
right?
At
she's
all.
Just told you it does?
Yeah.
Did she dye her hair red recently?
No, she has not.
So
she's on a slew of things, but it still acts up, you know.
Those are some bad allergies.
Yeah, she's got bad allergies.
Wow. How often does it act up?
The allergy shots have kind of worked, so it's not as often, but, you know, during the worst of times, it was, you know, a couple of times a week, severe, debilitating allergy attack.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And is it because of the cat?
I'm sure
in
that
part,
doesn't help.
Yeah.
You know, I think her allergist said, you should get rid of your animals, and she kind of said, thanks, I'll get a new allergist.
Well, okay. So she's a third of the population
uh-huh.
of people who are allergic to cats still keep them.
Yes.
And about 15-30% of the population of the United States has a dog or cat allergy.
Really?
You know that? Yeah.
No.
That's actually a lot more people than I thought it
was.
Yeah,
it's pretty substantial.
And, you know, a lot of them will actually undergo immunotherapy.
Right.
To kind of get over their allergy to it.
Right,
and
which
this
is the shots, right?
It is. It's the shots. It's basically, it's like using local honey to get over hay fever.
Right.
Same concept. And the local honey thing hasn't been proven, but it seems to work. This actually has been proven.
Sure.
And all it is you're introducing a low level of the allergen
mm-hmm.
that's causing the allergic reaction and letting your body get used to it.
Correct.
You want to talk about allergic reactions for a second?
It's my favorite topic.
Is it really?
No. I just have to deal with it a lot, so I'm used to it.
Okay. You want to explain them?
I'd feel better if you did.
Okay. So basically, an allergic reaction is nothing more than a case of mistaken identity.
Okay.
So the cat allergy, the allergen that you're allergic to from the cat, we'll get to that in a second, it's actually totally benign. What happens is if the first time your body's introduced to it, and it takes it as a foreign invader, it will produce an antibody to fight it off.
Exactly.
And then every time it comes at it, it will produce that antibody again.
Mm-hmm.
And basically one of the results is the release of histamines.
Correct.
Which actually makes your, it opens up the capillaries in your soft tissue.
Yes.
Which is why your eyes water and you sneeze and your gums bleed and you get the spins.
Runny nose.
Yeah. Well, that's another one too.
Yeah.
So that's actually the reason why.
That's amazing.
You really think so?
Yeah, how the human body works. I love that stuff.
I think it's strange that the human body can make a mistake like that.
Well, true.
You know?
Stupid body.
Yeah. So what is this cat allergen?
I believe it's called, I'm not sure if you say it or spell it, but I'm going to spell it, FELD1 glycoprotein.
Mm-hmm.
And the FEL clearly stands for feline. So no matter how you say it, what it is it's something that cats secrete through their skin and their saliva.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually smaller than dust.
Yeah, and it gets everywhere, doesn't it?
It does.
There was actually a study of a mattress store in Sweden.
This was disturbing.
It was disturbing. There, all these mattresses for sale, you know how they have mattresses out, box spring sets,
yeah.
So you can lay on them or
whatever.
I don't
like those places.
They actually, I've never been one to actually get on the mattress, but
no, and
you know,
see
plenty
people rolling
do.
Around and stuff. I don't like that at all.
So these were brand new mattresses that had never been in anyone's home.
Right.
And the Swedes tested them for the FELD1 glyco or the FELD1 glycoprotein,
mm-hmm.
And found it in aces on every single one of them.
Right. So this just came from people that owned cats.
So it's very easily transferred. It's very small.
True.
It's almost impossible to get rid of. And your cat produces it constantly through saliva. A glycoprotein, actually, it does all sorts of different stuff. It's found everywhere. It can serve as a lubricant. It can serve as connective tissue.
Right.
It's also structural, so it can be found in cell walls.
Mm-hmm.
It's all over the place. And it's big in keratin, which is the hair part.
Exactly.
Right, which is why pet dander's so allergic.
You got it.
Okay.
Man, you're smarter than I thought you were.
Pow. Thanks.
It's good stuff.
So, that's the glycoprotein.
Right.
That's the histamine reaction.
Mm-hmm.
That is the, cat thing. We've already discussed all of our stuff.
Sure, and a lot of people are allergic to cats. I think the stat is 50% of asthma cases are allergy-related, and 30% of those are cat allergies. So
yeah. Cats in particular seem to be very allergic. So what do you do? I mean, besides, Emily's course of action.
Sure. I know one thing that the article mentions is washing your cat twice a week, but if your cat is like my cat.
Cats don't like that.
No. I washed my kitten, Laurent, when I found him in a dumpster in Los Angeles.
Nice.
And I washed him when I first got him immediately because he was a dumpster kitty. And I tried to wash him again probably 5 years old now. I tried to wash him again, give him a flea bath about 6 months ago, and he was not happy.
No?
No.
We did that to Noodle once, and she actually just laid there, please just tell me when this is over.
No, he just complained a lot. He didn't like fight us or anything.
Gotcha.
But
there are some cats out there that will draw blood if you try to put water on them.
My other cat, the wizard, would. He would attack.
Yeah. So you know better than to wash them.
No.
So that's not necessarily an appropriate course of action either.
No.
Depending on your cat.
Do you know what is?
Please tell me.
You could buy what is called a hypoallergenic cat.
Yes.
If you have a cool $6,000 to spare.
$6,000. It's actually, $59.95?
Yeah, probably.
So $6,000.
Sure.
There's a company called Allerca,
mm-hmm.
And it's an American company, I believe. And basically, they have created a cat that they market as a hypoallergenic cat.
Yeah.
And they don't have to prove that one bit. According to the FDA, any product in the U.S. marketed as hypoallergenic doesn't have to produce any proof whatsoever that it's hypoallergenic. And hypoallergenic doesn't mean allergy-free. It just means that there's a much less likelihood that it will produce an allergic reaction.
Exactly.
But to back up its claims, Allerca published its own study. And basically, the study could be called, here, smell these cats.
Right.
So they took some people who are known to have cat allergies.
Uh-huh. Stuck a
cat in
their face.
And a control group that doesn't have cat allergies. And they used the Allerca cats,
mm-hmm.
and basically said, here you go, you know, here's this cat. And neither group reacted to the cat.
Yeah, it seems to work.
But then they used a regular cat,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, there was a reaction.
Right.
It's kind of mean, but it really serves to help market their cause.
Well, the first thing I thought when I saw this article about hypoallergenic cats is that it was some sort of weird bioengineered type of thing.
Like a mouse with an ear growing out of its back.
Right, which we have a picture of. It's really weird looking.
Isn't that disturbing?
Yeah, that's odd.
We paid extra for that one. It's an AP photo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's worth every penny.
I agree.
So yeah, it's not actually bioengineering though. So those that don't agree with things like that, don't worry. It's actually selective breeding.
Yes. And selective breeding basically is you're just taking a group that has a desirable trait,
uh-huh.
and continuing to breed them while not letting them breed with the cats that have the trait you don't want.
Exactly.
And in this case, Allerca used a process called bioinformatics,
uh-huh.
which is basically slapping computers and molecular biology together. And from what I gather, they fed the genetic makeup of, I guess, several different breeds of cats
right.
Through an algorithm, and it basically spit out likelihoods that these breeds would stop producing the FLD1 glycoprotein
right.
based on their genetic makeup, right?
It's no wonder it costs $6,000.
Yeah, yeah, right. So they and I imagine selective breeding, keeping these cats from mating constantly, is probably a real pain.
Yeah, it's a fun job.
So what the computer basically said was, go check out the British Shorthair. And so they grabbed the British Shorthair, which I guess had the highest likelihood of abandoning this gene that produces it.
Right. Well, actually, it doesn't. It still has the FLD1 protein, but it's just a different version of it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. It has a different molecular weight.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Okay. So they basically bred it out of them. They bred the FLD1.
Yeah.
FELD1.
We're going to breed that glycoprotein right out of you, kitty.
Right out. Yeah. And
that's how they said it.
What happened was the Allerca cats now, they may look exactly like a British Shorthair cat, but uh-huh. it's technically another species.
True.
A speciation event actually just occurred thanks to Allerca.
Right.
Right? So it's genetic divergence. It's where you take one thing and put them in or split them into two on the tree of life.
Right.
So
they're pretty popular,
that's what they
too,
did.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a
waiting list?
2-year waiting list. Right. Last I heard, and you could cut the waiting time in half, but so you could get it in a year,
right,
but you had to pay an extra $2,000.
Right. So an $8,000 cat,
and you had to wait a year for it.
Right.
So I guess they are pretty popular. Either that, or they're breeding fairly slowly.
Right. These are some serious cat lovers out there.
There are, but then again, I mean, your wife. She puts up with these allergies. And
yeah, she would draw the line there, though.
Yeah. Well, I guess the moral for today is cats equal great. And if you want to learn more about hypoallergenic cats, you can type that into our handy-dandy search bar at howstuffworks.com. Also, type in handy-dandy and see what comes up. You'll be pleasantly surprised. But don't go anywhere. We have something we like to call listener mail.
Yes, Josh, we're back. As I say, mere seconds later. And I'm just going to entitle this segment, From Our Young Fans. We get some emails from some of our young fans. We love our young fans. We love the kids out there listening to us when they listen to the, you know, age-appropriate shows.
Weren't we going to stick that at the end of Moonshine and then thought the better of it?
We did, actually.
I think that was a good move. We're putting it after the hypoallergenic cat one. Much, much
perfect.
More appropriate.
Exactly. So we heard from Cole Silva in Marston Mills, Massachusetts, about flirting. And young Cole is 12 years old, and he says that he loved the episode on flirting, and it really helped him a lot. And I may only be 12, but thanks to you, I just found out that a lot of girls have flirted with me this year.
Way to go, Cole.
So as you know, I wrote back to Cole and told him, here's another bit of advice. Be nice and respectful to your female friends, mm-hmm. and that'll give you a leg up in the future on all those little dorky friends that make fun of them.
Exactly. So no pulling of pigtails, Cole.
No, good advice from us. Then Ben, 15 years old in England,
mm-hmm.
one of our favorites, he enjoyed the toothpaste making orange juice taste bad, and I wrote Ben back, as I am wont to do, and he to ask for a haiku poem from Ben from our
you
young
You love
reader.
Asking people for haiku,
I do.
You?
It's short, and it's a good way to get them involved and engage our listeners. So he wrote back, in January, snow falls on the frozen ground, I make a snowman.
That sounds like a t-shirt to me.
It's a good one. And then Sarah S., this is our favorite, Sarah S., a.k.a. the amazing 11-year-old fan, is writing us on a weekly basis,
yeah.
if not daily now.
Yeah.
And Sarah is very awesome. She's 11, and she wrote out a haiku for us, which actually rhymes. And Sarah, you should know that they don't have to rhyme. In fact, I don't think
No, she put in the extra effort.
But she did.
From knowing Sarah, she knew that. She just wanted to polish it up even more.
Right. So here is Sarah S.'s haiku. Many people run straight into the sun for fun, but I am not one. And she says she wrote that because she hates to run.
Nice. So and apparently isn't much of a fan of the sun either.
Right. But we love our young fans, and we appreciate them listening.
Yeah, do we have any youth-sized t-shirts?
I don't think so. They could be sleep shirts.
Okay, there you go. So if you guys ever go to a sleepover, you can be sporting your cool How Stuff Works t-shirt.
Good idea.
Just email us your addresses, the three of you. Thank you very much for writing in. And if you want to write in and roll the dice to see if you can get a t-shirt, or just tell Chuck and I that we made a mistake or that you love us, whatever, just send an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.